expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guest do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View.
You are about to enter a world that's not new. A world that will inspire you with pondering to do. A world known only as the Paranormal View.
Time out the Paranormal View.
The Paranormal View from the Para-X Radio Network. The Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. We want to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us tonight. Chat room is filled up really nice. And we have somebody else in the chat room tonight who has been gone for a while. And hopefully next week his show will be back on the air. Jose is back with us, known in the chat room as Squirrel Man. So welcome back, Jose. So with that, we want to thank all those that's listening from around the world. And lately we've been having lots of those. We want to getting some feedback. Somebody needs to turn their sound down.
My end, sorry.
So
getting down a little bit. I might be over driving.
Okay. With checking. That, I want to thank all those that's listening from around the world. And if you're not with us here in the chat room, please come on over to para-x.com. Click on the live chat button and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. You'll be able to interact with us and those in the chat room and our guests. So tonight we got a couple with us who is not new to Para-X, but we like to have them back from time to time and listen to all their fascinating stories. Before we jump right into that, though, I'm going to have Jeffrey give us a rundown.
Okay, well, our guests tonight, they may not be new, but they're not old. They're Patrick McCormick and Doug McReynolds of Goat Soldiers. Pat is the founder and lead paranormal investigator, bringing engineering and scientific knowledge to advancing paranormal investigation techniques, while Doug Reynolds is a passionate investigator who is also involved in living history, reenacting the war between the states as Colonel Joshua Chamberlain of the 20th Maine Regiment of the Army of the Potomac. This wonderful pair have been each and both on our show before, and we're well aware they're both erudite, highly intelligent, after all, like being guests on our show, quite witty and very entertaining. So welcome back, Pat and Doug.
Yay! Hooray! We made it! We found the network!
Jared, you missed us. We're back.
We always miss you. With that, you guys have been doing quite a bit. Now, I was just with you this past summer in Gettysburg.
That's right.
Which I had a great time over there, even though we only got to spend a few hours together out on the battlefield. I thought it was real fascinating with all the stories that you guys gave me and all the ones that Craig gave me, because Craig spent a day and a half with me kind of before you guys was able to come over, and we went everywhere. He was showing me places I never even knew existed, so I had a wonderful time with that. And we're talking about going back, I believe it's in toward the last week in April, I believe it is.
Yep.
You'll have to twist my arm, Henry. I don't think, you know, that's going to take too much twisting, though. So, no, we had a great time in Gettysburg, and that was the Mr. G's ice cream show.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to mention the things that went on there, but they were hilarious. So
you still owe us ice cream.
Well, Henry ate it, and Doug ate everyone else's, so I don't think you'll be seeing that ice cream anytime
soon. Three large hot fudge sundaes, I think, is a record for Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah. And from what I understand, G's Ice Cream is, or Ice Cream Parlor, I should say, is haunted.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember while you were doing your show, I took my Obelisk 3 out and put it in touch mode where it makes that ping sound.
Right.
And nothing happened for a while. And then, of course, all of a sudden near the end of the show, you know, we started getting pings. And after the show, Cat, Tabby Cat, and I went up into the attic while you guys were kind of jawing and, you know, finishing your ice cream and cleaning up. And that's when we ran into a rebel lieutenant in the attic. And there is a story about a lieutenant being brought in there. And sure enough, that was him. And we've got EVPs of that. We've got EVPs of you and I at that barn, Henry, at the Slider right. Farm, where we were talking with some dead soldiers. We got answers there.
Right. And,
So we've been doing a lot. We were at Pennhurst in November, and Doug was attacked. I'll let him tell that story in a little bit. But
really?
We can swap stories.
Absolutely. Kat, you know, that place, I'm sure you felt it. I mean, you're not even in the building, and you can feel the energy at that spot.
Oh, yeah. You could be a mile away from that building, and you know they are coming upon it.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were, Doug was jumped a couple of times and really taken down. And we actually caught it on video. And I put the one spot in slow motion. You can actually see something pressing down his jacket. Like the jacket visibly moves down when he gets pushed down. Like you could see something on his back. Yes.
Well, now, when you guys went to Pennhurst, did you go in a group tour with the people, or were you guys able to go in kind of like, I won't say on your own, but without having to be in a big group?
Well, we went with Dave Giuliano from the Ghost Hunter Store, who a buddy of ours for a long time, and he organized groups through there, and he had a group and he had some openings, so we said, oh yeah, sure. So there were like 20 people there, maybe 24, not a huge group. And the place is so big that, you know, Doug and I found ourselves alone most of the time without anyone around. So if you've ever been there, there's several floors, and then the wings go back in one direction and then back in the other, and rooms off of that. So, you know, it's a great, great place.
Which buildings were you in?
We were in the Mayflower building.
Yeah, that's where I had an experience, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't get jumped. You just got poked.
Me? No, we got bum rushed.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you got. Isn't that where you got your jacket
no,
poked?
The poke. No, that would be the basement of the Crump Theater in Columbus, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why Henry doesn't like basements.
Yeah, you remember that, don't you? I don't like basements.
No, you don't. You know, I remember that, Henry. You're just not up on the basements. That's the first place Doug and I'll go, you know.
Is the basement, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, I will go in some basements. We did a little house up here in Franklin, Ohio, and I was down in the basement with... was you with us, Kat? I don't think you was down in the basement when I was down there.
No, we took turns.
Okay. Yeah, I was down in the basement down there. I did not see anything or feel anything. Matter of fact, I had the recorder going, and I didn't even get any EVPs down there. However, I was with a psychic who was talking about an entity that was down there, and she was saying it wasn't a nice one, but I didn't get bothered or anything like that. So yeah, if it's not a bad basement, you know, clean. I hate something that just
are you a basement connoisseur? This isn't a bad basement. The mildew isn't so bad.
Well, Doug found out that the basement at Pennhurst is not a good place. You know, and I don't know what it is about basements. I like them. But we were warned when we went in there by the woman who ran the tour that somebody in the basement called the King, likes to call himself the King, will jump people. And also on the third floor, there's a guy who jumps. And usually they pick out the biggest and baddest guy in the group is what we were told. So thank God they went right for Doug, you know, and I was happy he was there because he's tall and, you know, looks like a threat. So I'm not as much of a threat, and it went right for him. So Doug.
Well, when Dave was doing his introduction, and he was like, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, if you do get attacked, you know, step out of the building, you know, regroup. You know, get a bit of fresh air. It's been known that he's gone for the tallest person, is usually what King goes for. And at that point, I looked around the room and came to the clearance that I was the only tall 6'3" person in the room. That started to worry me a little bit. And I'm a little too old for piggyback rides. You know, me and Pat, we, you know, walked around, got our equipment situated, and you know, Pat said, which way you want to go? I said, well, you know, you and me, we always like starting off at the basement and working our way up. And we got into the basement and, you know, things were a little easy at first, you know, and we, you know, kind of felt out the room and everything and, you know, got some focus issues with our camcorders. And then me and Pat come to the conclusion that there was a stairway going to the next floor above us. So we're like, all right, let's start our investigation here. And we got out the EVP recorder and started doing some EVP sessions, and that's when we could feel and see something, and wasted absolutely no time. I mean, I didn't even see it coming. It was just all of a sudden he was there. It's like he just jumped right on my back. And normally when I get attacked, I can usually brush people off and kind of refocus myself. It was totally the opposite. I mean, he just literally jumped on my back and just drove me right into the ground. And then at that point, we came to the conclusion. I was like, okay, we need to go outside. We need to reset and refocus here. And that was the most eerie feeling I ever had. I mean, I've been on a lot of investigations. We've done the Haldeman Mansion. We've done, you know, Burlington Prison and stuff. And this place is just completely off the charts. And that was just the beginning. That was just like the first 15 minutes of the investigation. Wow. We still had 8 more hours to go.
Wow.
I couldn't keep up with him. He took off like a bat out of hell. I'm like, hey, Doug, what about sticking together? I'm yelling to him. And he was on his way, man. I had to run and chase him. He had to go upstairs and get outside and you know, it doesn't normally happen like that, but he was immediately jumped on. And, you know, he, to his credit, he went outside, you know, we got some air, and he went back in. And we went right back in and faced the guy, and, you know, which is what you got to do. But
isn't it kind of a tradition that if you're in a penitentiary, The thing to get sort of like yard street cred is to attack the toughest guy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. This is this was more of an asylum for people with diseases and stuff like that, but it still had the same gang mentality, Jeff. You're absolutely right. In fact, every time something was happening, we could not only feel that there was like a crowd watching us, but on our EVPs, there are so many voices, you can't even make out what they're saying in the background. So it is a crowd mentality, and it is definitely the guy who runs it is running a power trip, both the guy Elvis in the basement. And I thought he was the same guy upstairs, but the psychic says no. She says there's somebody else who takes the third floor over. And
Of Mayflower?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to run into him. So.
Oh, he just makes himself known to anybody who goes up on that floor.
Anybody who is threatening, Because with our case, I went there in March of last year, and I was with actually, it was 60 people or so who went to the entire place. But by the time this occurred, it was around, I think, 1 in the morning, and there was only about 30 people left, maybe 20. And it was myself and then Carrie Henry that we went with her friend Jen. And then we had one other person I did not know, and three staff members, one of them being the psychic who runs everything. And we were in Nurse Catherine's room, and I kept seeing a shadow person stalking outside the room. And I was like, well, there's somebody who obviously wants to see what we're up to. So we all walk into the hallway, and Carrie is directly in front of me in this hallway, up against the threshold of this doorway. Jen is on the opposite side of the door's threshold. And then the woman I didn't know was kind of behind me, then the psychic, and then the two male staff members. And out of the floor emerges this shadow person who then bends over like he was, and then bum rushes us, and his head's tucked underneath his right arm. And I could see Carrie's head get struck backwards, like she got hit up in the chin. Wow. And I immediately went for, I could see it, and I kind of shouted something, and like, look out or something like that. I go against the wall. It brushes through my right elbow, and it just feels like cold static. It did something to Jen, and I can't remember what it did at the moment. I think it was pinching her bottom or something like that before that happened. But she ducked out of the way, and then the four people behind us also ducked out of the way. And it's hilarious listening to this audio. There's no EVPs associated with this, but it's just quiet, 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 and then 15 seconds of sheer chaos. And so it was strange, and it disappeared in the wall behind us. And so I think I probably ran into whoever doesn't like people on the third floor. Another entity tried to jump me from the dark shadows of a room. I was walking past it in a hallway, and I could see it, and I just pointed at it. I was like, I can see you. Don't even try.
Yeah.
And it just kind of backed up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a pissed off Midwesterner. Don't mess with me.
That's what you got to do, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm only 5'2". I'm just this little angry redhead.
Oh, is it red now?
It's red right now.
Okay.
It'll be red for a while because I used a permanent dye.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyhow, Henry never knows what hair color I have.
Hey, being short is actually good there. Like that one guy goes for the tallest, you know, person. So maybe that helped.
Yeah. It's also good because you don't have as far to fall to the ground.
I'm giving Pat high heels next time we go.
So, is this your guys' first time going to Pennhurst?
Yes, it was. We had been on a list for a date, and then something happened, and we had to reschedule. But this was our first time, and it was cold, which Doug does not like, and I don't mind as much. But it was a cold night. And just about everybody who was in the group, though, stayed, especially after they saw in the first 20 minutes Doug go, flying out the door. So they're like, "What happened to him? We want some of that." I'm like, "Well, you can go get it. Just go to the basement, you know." So we went back in, and we wound up staying, you know, late there. But it was, you know, being attacked three times. Is something that you really don't want to experience. Once is enough. I'm sure Doug felt like he was in a car wreck the next day.
Yeah.
So that was in the basement. What else did you guys find? You was only in the building, the Mayflower building? That's the only one?
Yeah, right now that's the one they're kind of running the groups through. It's the original administration building. And it's one of the, you know, only buildings. It's got lights in it. It's got electricity to it. So that's the building that we were taken to. There's a tunnel system I want to get into. But we'll be going back in March actually to to host a group of people there at Pennhurst sometime in March. So we're looking forward to that, and I'm sure Doug's looking forward to going back and seeing his buddy in the basement and the one in the on the third floor who jumped him.
Hey, do you have any extra spaces with that trip? Because Henry would like to go. You know,
Henry.
When is it?
We don't have a date yet, but we're looking at there's a March. There's going to be a couple dates in March.
I'd have to really know what date it is you guys get set up before I could say anything, because I know we're going to be going down to Waverly in
May.
That's in May.
That's a different month.
Right. And in
April,
I'm going to go to Petersburg. So
yeah,
it depends. You know, I hate like bunching a whole bunch of them up kind of fairly close together. But
come on, Henry, you only live once.
I know.
Well, the reason why I bring it up was you can haunt forever. Poor Henry, we drove the 9 hours it takes for Cincinnati to get to where Pennhurst is, and he was unable to go on the hunt.
I remember that. I felt that's awful. You got to feel bad for Henry. I don't know how you you want to still go to that place. I'd be kind of pissed off at them, but.
Well, it wasn't the people at Pennhurst.
We won't get into the nitty gritty, but I just think Henry needs to go visit Pennhurst. He is due a trip.
Well, Henry, we'll let you know when the dates are set, and definitely if we're hosting one of the events, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to get you in. You may have to be a ghost soldier and wear a hat. So, but
got it.
Trust me, you will not be disappointed.
Well, I'll go. You get it set up, let me know.
You can watch Doug get attacked again, like I'm going to do.
No, they can put you alone.
You're going to be taller than me, Pat. I got high heels for you.
Oh, Lord. You're like that guy that's on the commercial on TV right now, or are you standing behind a desk? He says that he wears boots, then he walks out in about 10-inch heels or something like that. Those leather chaps or whatever they are.
What are you talking about, Henry?
They got a commercial TV. It's on the show network. Game show.
Chaps are
commercial on the game show network.
Yeah, it's it wasn't the game. It was advertising something, and I forget what it was, but. One of their types of shows. Anyway, that's something else. He's dressed like a cowboy, but he didn't have cowboy boots on. It was something else. So I'll let go at that.
Well, I think chaps are leather apron-y things, right?
Well, it wasn't exactly
that they wear on Castro Street over here in San Francisco, but
it's like that, you know.
That's a different thing, I think, Barb.
Right. Okay.
Where is this conversation going?
Envy and chaps.
In the basement of Pennhurst. They'll get EVPs then.
Now, I do have a lot of EVPs that we're going to be trying to play some a little later. And I believe we do have a few from Pennhurst. We have some from another place. Doug, did you get to go with Pat to Italy?
What, are you kidding me? They wouldn't let me in the country if I left.
Oh, Lord.
He was too big to get in the suitcase, Henry.
Ah, that's what it was.
No, that was Pat taking his mom and his brother and his sister to Italy. I didn't get to go on that trip.
Yeah. Well, he did go to Italy, and we do have some EVPs from around Italy. But fascinating. Where all did you get to go to in Italy?
Well, we hit three main cities: Rome, Florence, and Venice, which are really the key, I think, to understanding Italian history. Rome being the eternal city, so much history, was just fascinating to see all that stuff there and the stuff that's still standing. And I actually did some recordings in the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel, St. Peter's Basilica, and the Colosseum. And despite a lot of noise in some of them, you know, because there's tons of people that go to these, I got EVPs, and I can look at these, and you can check them out on a waveform, and you can see that they have frequencies that are not human, below the human frequencies. And so I validate all of my EVPs and check them out, and sure enough, I was able to get some.
I'm still getting some feedback through Doug's microphone.
Is that Doug again?
Yeah. Hello? Yes, Doug.
Find some headphones, Doug.
Yeah, well, while your guys are on commercial, let me run down to Best Buy and grab some more headphones. I bought a pair yesterday. I went to work. I came home. My daughter was wearing them. She comes up to me. She goes, "For some reason, they don't work." I said, "Did you yank them out of your phone?" She was like, "Well, yeah, that's what I always do." I said, "Oh, you didn't have the decency to grab it by the little plug butt piece and pull it out of the phone. You had to yank it, right?" She goes, "Yeah." I was like, "Gee, thanks."
How old is she?
15.
Oh,
I got 5 sets of headphones hanging from my wall right now, and all 5 don't work.
I have a problem with rabbits chewing mine apart.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. They're like, "Hey, this looks like a strange piece of hay." Like, no, that wasn't hay, guys.
My cats like to chew on cables.
Oh, mine does, too. Oh. I've even had to buy new chargers for the laptops. 3 different sets, by the way. And those aren't cheap.
Yeah, I've been to your house. You have piping over everything that is a wire. Yeah.
I was thinking I may have to do that to get PCB piping to run the cords through so the cats will leave stuff alone.
You can go like to Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere like that. You can buy the plastic stuff that has a slit in it that you just slide your cables into it.
Ooh.
Yeah, those are pretty nice that way. That way they can't chew them up.
These are incredible times.
Yes.
Is that any better?
That sounds better, yes.
These are incredible times, Henry. I just got a new washer and dryer today, and I'm thrilled.
Ooh. So are you going to do everybody's washing then?
Hell no. Oh. I'm lucky I do my own.
So going back to Italy now, that since Doug sidetracked us, you were in Rome. That's got to be a fascinating place because, I mean, you know, the history on that place goes way, way, way back.
Oh, yeah. You're talking, this is the first capital of the world. Rome, also called the Eternal City, started around 753 BC when 2 brothers, Romulus and Remus, were actually building the city, and Romulus killed Remus. That's the legend or the myth behind the starting of Rome. And it's beautiful. There are 7 hills. If you know anything about Rome, it was built on 7 hills. You can't see those hills anymore, but you can feel them. When you walk around the city, and everyone walks quite a bit there, you're up and down hills. And the history, Henry, you're just, you know, you're walking by the Colosseum that was built in, you know, 72 AD, and it's still there, you know. You've got the Vatican. Most of it, right? You've got the Vatican, the walled city of the Vatican, who at one time ran most of Italy and owned most of Italy. You know, we got to see the Pope. I'm not a religious person, but boy, was that cool. It was like being at a rock concert. This really was. From security going in, I was getting pushed by nuns behind me. We're going through this little narrow gate, and everybody lines up, and there are no lines in Italy. you basically just push till you get through whatever you're going through.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so we were there at 6:30 in the morning, and we were maybe 10 feet from the gate. By the time we were going to get in, there were thousands of people, and they were pushing us through like a Rolling Stones concert, you know? And I swear, the nuns were the worst. They're behind me. She, you know, she's got her arm like, you know, get in there. And then people run once they're in there. And you have to go through security. They check your, you know, your bag. Your, and once you're in there, then you have to run for your seat. So even though you have a ticket, everybody runs down and tries to get a seat down front. Well, we had some secret information we had been given by the North American Bishop's College, where we got our tickets from. And the guy said, you don't want to be down front. If you want to see the Pope, go to the side. You're on the side where the barricades are. That's where he's going to drive by from 9 o'clock till 10. Now, the other popes didn't do this. This guy is the only one who does this. And he comes out and spends an hour with the crowd, which I thought was awesome. So we ran down. We got pretty far down. I got over to the side, and I got us like four seats right against the barrier. And the Pope went by. Literally, I could reach out and touch the Pope mobile. That's how close he was.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that was for my mom, really. My mom, the trip really was my mom's bucket list. She's, you know, getting up there and wanted to go to Italy. And I just said, you know what? With everything she's done for me, that's the least I can do. But I never knew that the trip would actually work, you know, that we'd be able to actually get the tickets, see the Pope, get real close to him. You know, it was just a really awesome trip, and we were blessed to have all these things happen. So, yeah, it was great.
Now, with the history and all, for instance, the Colosseum, all that history, were there any... or do they speak about the paranormal over there very much? I mean, do they? Is there any talk about different ghost stories?
Oh, yeah. In fact, they're a lot more open to it than we are here. So I didn't find any reactions that were negative when I brought up the subject. And places like Venice, for example, they are really into it. I mean, they accept the dead. There's skulls on buildings. You know, the people are convinced the dead are walking around. And the same thing in Rome. They have a unique way of looking at this thing. They always say, remember, you have to die. Member morte, something like that. And in the one church, the cardinals who had died were entombed in the church. And in front of them, they had skeletons on either side of them. And then a picture of the cardinal or whoever it was. And in his wrist, it looked like almost like, you know, some kind of spongy material. Like, you know, it had gone through to being dissolved so that you can remember that these were just people. These were not gods. These were just people on the earth. So they are really into the dead. They're really into the history. There's not a lot of ghost stories about the Colosseum because there's so many people there all the time. Even if something's happening, you're probably not aware of it. And even with all the people that were around us, I was able to still get a couple of EVPs that I was, you know, able to verify. So the history is phenomenal. You're looking at Circus Maximus, Henry. This is the first place. This is NASCAR. This is like chariot races. This is Ben-Hur. And when you see the size of this place, it held something like 250,000 people in this stadium. You know, the Colosseum held 50,000 people itself, and it didn't look like it did today. It had marble seats. Some of the seats were actually slanted, so you kind of had like you could lean back. Yeah, it was fascinating.
Wow. They spared no expense.
You mentioned the bones and skeleton stuff in Italy. Are you saying, are you referring also to ossuary?
Well, they're everywhere you go, Jeff. There's a church. You can't throw a stone without getting to it. So every church has its own, you know, tombs and things built into it. And some of these churches actually have like you know, you'll see like what looks like a coffin sticking out of the wall, and it'll have the picture of the cardinal and stuff like that, and that's his actual tomb.
Yeah. So, well, the only time I've been to Italy, we went to Rome, Florence, Italy, Milan. I was 9 years old. So I have memories, a lot of memories, but, you know, they're not super, you know, obviously not as clear as yours being having just gone.
Yeah, Florence was beautiful, by the way. Florence was a favorite of mine. It just had a really nice feel to it. Florence really being the merchant capital of the world. And making all its money in about the 1500s, when the Medici family, or Medici as Americans say, basically they put all their money that they were making from goods back into the city and made churches and, you know, beautiful things. And the Ponte Vecchio, the bridge that crosses the Arno River, this bridge has shops on it. You can actually, there are stores on this bridge. It's a really fascinating piece of history. And Venice as well, absolutely beautiful. The water, the scenery, and let's face it, the food. Oh my God, I was in heaven. I could have pizza and pasta every night.
And I understand the actual Italian version of Italian food is far different than Americanized version. In fact, I have an Italian friend. He comes over. He will not eat at Italian restaurants here because, you know, to his palate, they're a bit. It's like horrible to him.
It is, Jeff. All the food that we had there was so fresh and so well prepared that coming back here was a real letdown. I'm convinced I'll never have another really good pizza again. It was unbelievable. Because I went over there thinking, oh, people say the pizza's not as good. No, it's not as good. It's better. It's fresh. The sauce is just unbelievable. It's I don't know how to describe it, but it beats hands down any pizza that you'll get here. And the pasta, whatever you're having, you know, it's fresh pasta, it's fresh bread. The wines don't have sulfites in them. So we did a wine tasting in Florence, and that was great because normally I'm not a big fan of wine. And these were delicious, absolutely delicious wines.
Wow.
So did you make it to Paveglia Island?
No. No. We had so many tours planned that there wasn't a lot of, you know, excess time. Mm-hmm. I had planned it so that we could see, like, different things. Like in Venice, we had the Doge's Palace. We had St. Mark's Basilica tour. We had a boat tour around Venice in the canals, which was very cool. And in Florence, the same thing. We had an actual personal guided tour by this woman who took just us around, the four of us, and took us to the local market, you know, where we could get, like, you know, lunch real cheap with the locals and, you know, fresh stuff, and walked us around, explained Florence to us. And we had similar tours in the Vatican called Skip the Line tours, where we were able to actually walk past lines that went four blocks that my mother said while we were passing them, is that the line we have to get into? And I said, no, Mom, I went on the internet. We're skipping that line.
So, well, now we know where Disneyland got the front of the line idea.
Well, I'll tell you, if you don't know that, Jeff, you actually, a friend of mine went there and spent 3 hours waiting to get into the Vatican Museum, and that's all they could do then. That, you know, that day was pretty much shot. Hmm. So,
well, it's good to be able to know how to get around things like that.
Yeah, if it wasn't for my uncle, Henry, my uncle Bill actually went over there first, and he wound up waiting in line and then found out, you know, you could do this easily on the internet. And he suggested, hey, I suggest you go on the internet. Well, great suggestion, Bill, because that saved us a ton of time. We got to see a lot more stuff and didn't have to wait in line. And the Vatican is just, that's amazing in itself, seeing the Vatican. But, you know, we had to do the Colosseum as well. And those are just something that I'll never forget. The two places are just so powerful, so powerful.
Now, I do want to remind everybody, if you do have a question for Pat and Doug, you can send a private message or private chat to either Ceiling Cat, Cat Paraview, or myself, and we will get those questions right over to them just as soon as we can. And if you're listening from somewhere around the world but not here in the chat room and you have questions, you can send a question to us at theparanormalview@gmail.com and put on their question, and we will get that right over to them because we have somebody monitoring our email. Now, there's also another way you can do it. What is that, Kat?
You can follow us on Twitter at Paraview Radio.
All right.
So now you say you've got the NSA listening to our email? But, oh, wait, no.
They probably are.
Only if that's my new nickname. Which I don't really want. Don't call me that.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break right now. And we come back, we'll do some more talking with Pat and Doug from the Ghost Soldiers. And maybe we'll get into a few EVPs because I got a lot of them. And they'll be able to tell us all about them before we play them and during and all that good stuff. So we'll take about a 7-minute break somewhere in that neighborhood. Give you a chance to go get something to drink or whatever.
Ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Rice Krispie treats.
I know what happened with my ice cream.
Yeah, don't lose your cherry again, Henry.
Oh, my.
Kat?
Yes, sir.
Get to do the honors.
Okay, everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Kat Cloco. Tonight, we're joined by Pat and Doug, the Ghost Soldiers, playing EVPs they've collected for us tonight. There's more to come after the break.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m. Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in, the Black Cat Lounge, every Thursday night, 8 o'clock, on Para X.
I found it at last! Marla's sacred cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para X Radio Network.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics. a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions. Big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Nine words women use. One.
Fine.
This is the word women use to end an argument when they are right and you need to shut up. Two.
5 minutes.
If she is getting dressed, this means a half hour. 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you have just been given five more minutes to watch the game before helping around the house. Three.
Nothing.
This is the calm before the storm. This means something. And you should be on high alert. Arguments that begin with
nothing
usually end in
fine.
Four.
Go ahead.
Warning. Warning, Will Robinson. This is a dare, not permission. Don't do it. Five. This is actually a word, but it is a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men. A loud sigh means that she thinks you are an idiot and wonders why she is wasting her time standing here arguing with you about nothing. Refer back to number three for the meaning of nothing. Six.
That's okay.
This is one of the most dangerous statements a woman can make to a man.
That's okay.
Means that she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when you will pay for your mistake. Seven.
Thanks.
A woman is thanking you. Do not question or faint. Just say, you're welcome. Be careful. This is true unless she says,
thanks a lot.
That is pure sarcasm and she is not thanking you at all. Do not say you're welcome if she says,
thanks a lot.
Or that will bring on,
whatever.
Eight.
Whatever.
This is the woman's way of saying,
fuck you.
Nine.
Don't worry about it. I got it.
Another dangerous statement, meaning this is something that a woman has told a man to do several times, but is now doing it herself. This will later result in a man asking, what's wrong? For the woman's response, refer to number three. And that is just nine words women like to use.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night. There is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio and the all-new Para-X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio and Para-X Vision programming.
You don't have to be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank everybody who's joined us in the chat room tonight, and the chat room is just packed with people. And we do have listeners from all around the world, and tonight they're listening from the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada. Ooh, and we have two unknowns tonight.
What? Two unknowns?
What? Wait a minute. Two unknowns? Yeah.
Those Bigfoot feet are getting dizzy orbiting the moon in their UFOs.
I wonder what galaxy they're from.
Far, far away.
One far, far away.
All right.
And we have with us tonight the Ghost Soldiers, Pat and Doug.
And their music styling.
No, I could have brought my little thing up here and played all kinds of little things too, but I decided not to.
Wait, what?
I didn't get that either. But yeah.
Henry, children are listening.
You know, Chet, Henry, we used to sing a song kind of went like this. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. Never understood a single word he said, but I helped him and drink his wine.
Yeah,
and he always eats a mighty fine wine.
on that note, yeah.
That was a C flat. Yeah.
On that note, we're going to now start the drinking game.
Oh, geez.
Every time the word ghost comes up, you will be drinking.
Drinking what?
Whatever you got. Water, beer, whatever. I don't care.
Man, you should have warned me about this before the break.
Do you have something to drink?
No.
Oh.
Cold medicine.
Oh, she would get drunk on NyQuil.
No. It's called Jameson.
I have Pepto Bismol, and that's the closest liquid.
I got Yingling. Sounds like it's working from where I'm at.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Yeah. And Kat's drinking giggle juice.
Sorry.
So, anyway, back to Pat and Doug. Over in Italy, what place that you was able to go to that you thought might have had the most activity spirit-wise or with ghosts?
I think that's a drink on you, Henry. Well, I'll tell you what. It was interesting because everywhere I went over there, I was kind of busy, you know, running the trip. And so my senses weren't always, you know, working or picking up stuff. But I definitely ran into stuff everywhere I went, like the Colosseum. I had several things where I felt, you know, something pass by me, and I looked to see, you know, who that was, and there wasn't anybody there, which was interesting. And we were in a tomb of San Lorenzo's tomb, which is an underground facility with all these, you know, all these cardinals and priests and rich people. Actually, it's the tomb of the Medici family. And that place was off the charts because I just, you know, you get that feeling, and maybe because it was kind of enclosed and, you know, creepy looking, but I'm used to that. But when we were in there, boy, I felt multiple people and just had, you know, that feeling that you're always, somebody's behind you and you're looking over your shoulder. That happened a few other places in Venice in the hotel we were in. All those hotels are like really old. You know, you're talking 1500s, 1600s. I was getting EVPs in the stairway of the hotel. I also went to a Navy museum in Venice and was flat out, my stomach was going out and was getting problems with the video camera. So, yeah, absolutely everywhere I went, I experienced something.
Wow.
Well, I'm not surprised with the Medici family, when you realize how they came to power. They were killing everybody and they were killing each other. So it was a very violent family.
And in Florence, their rival was the Strozzi's.
Yeah.
And we went on an actual medieval tour one night, a walking tour, and we started at the Strozzi Palace, which is kind of near the center square, after riding on the merry-go-round, the carousel. Which was fun. And we go on this tour and we go into the palace, and I took pictures. The first two pictures I take are absolutely crystal clear. After that, I kind of did my mental telepathy, like, hey, anybody here, you know, now's the time to show yourself. Well, every picture I took after that is filled with orbs. And I tilt it up so you can see up inside where the staircases and the people would look over. And there's orbs that are looking like they're at the balcony, like, you know, two stories up. And this is the Strozzi's, who were killed by the Medici's in their takeover for power, one of many families, like you said. So, like I said, in the entire trip, the only time I got orbs was that night in that palace. So it's a little weird that that's the only time I got them, but yeah.
Huh. Wow.
That yeah, it was... The only other thing that happened on video was in the Vatican, we were in a place called Raphael's Rooms. And actually, we were in the one room was the Pope's office. And he, this beautiful paintings. Everything is, you know, adorned. Everything's painted. It's, you know, gold and you know, everything is just magnificent in these rooms. While I'm tilting up, a couple of orbs look like they come out of a doorway and shoot straight up, followed by about 10 or 12 more. One or two of them seem to like disappear into nowhere and come back into like view like a few feet further up, like, you know, they're doing a little like warp maneuver or something. And one of them actually does a loop around one of the orbs and then speeds off. So in 10 days of filming, those were the only anomalies I picked up at all.
Hmm. That is really interesting, especially with the orb that is able to loop around like it's a little jet.
Well, that's just it. The first thing I thought was, I've got to make sure that there's some kind of intelligence to these things. It's not just dust particles. There was an open window. So I looked at, you know, I slowed it down, followed everything step by step, and I'm like, whoa, what is this doing? If that's a dust particle, man, that is the smartest dust particle I've ever seen to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very impressive. And that was, like I said, I only got that in one spot in the Vatican.
Well, we got an email question from Melbourne, Australia.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
It reads, "Hello, the Paranormal View. I always enjoy the shows with Pat and Doug. They get awesome recordings. Hi, Pat. Hi, Doug. Nice singing, Pat. Needs a little bit more beer. I have a question about the EVPs in Italy. Did you get them in English, or were you also hearing EVPs in Italian? And I was wondering that, too. So..."
Well, Aussie Jeff. Thank you, Aussie Jeff, our buddy down there in Australia. Good day. Hope the dingo didn't eat your baby. But yes, that's a great question. I expected to get EVPs that were specifically in Latin or Roman or Italian. And I've got English EVPs. However, I also have some that are unintelligible. And Henry will tell you. I sent him some of those too. You just can't tell what they're saying. So it's Latin or it's, you know, a version of Italian, Roman. And there are some that I flat out, they're saying something I have no idea what they're saying. So yeah, I got some of both. And it's interesting to note that the English EVPs, they're, you know, definitely some are easier to tell than others. So I'm not sure if they spoke two languages and decided to try English on the EVP sometimes, but great question. I expected to get a lot more Latin than I did, and I got a lot of English EVPs, or what I think are English EVPs, so that was surprising to me.
And I think what we'll do is, if you like, we can go ahead and play a couple of those. Let me get into my little thingy here.
The time machine?
Yeah, the time machine. And find where they are here. Okay. I'm not sure which ones were over. But see, you got a couple here that starts with COL. I assume that's the Colosseum.
Yes, sir. Anything with COL is a Colosseum.
Okay. And the ones with the, excuse me, the MRG.
That's Mr. G's ice cream when we were up there at Gettysburg with you.
All those are Mr. G's. All right.
Yep. Sistine Chapel is SIS.
Okay, I see those. All right. Let's do. I got two here that I kept from the Coliseum.
Okay.
We'll play one of those. The first one here is where there was something that was dropped. I'll play it. you can tell us about it and what it is. So put your headphones on, turn up the volume, and I'll turn it up here, see if we can help you hear it. So here we go.
Yeah, play that one more time, Henry.
All right.
Yeah, that's one of the ones, I think they're saying that's a big drop. We were on the second floor of the Coliseum, and we were overlooking an overhang. It dropped, you know, very far below us. And you hear someone saying, that's a big drop.
Big drop, yeah, or wake up.
Or yeah, and, you know, these are very subjective. You could hear something, and sometimes I'll hear it again and go, yeah, that's not what I heard the first time. So feel free if you hear something different in these.
Now, that comes right after you, like a thump or something like that, I think, when you hear the words. Listen to it again. I'll turn it up here a little bit more and see if it'll help you hear it a little bit better. It's before you hear that knock. You hear,
it sounds like, please help me.
Well, I did get that on a couple EVPs from the Coliseum, so that also could be one of the ones that we got. There was a please help me.
All right, let's listen to it again and see if you can pick it out again. It starts almost right when I start playing it, so.
Yeah, there's
it
a couple.
More like wake, it does sound like more like wake up to me.
Okay.
I'm hearing two voices in there now.
Yeah, there's a one that's sort of talking all the way through it, and then there's one at the end which could be wake up or please help. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's difficult to tell with that.
Right toward the end.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll play this one more time and see if you find something right toward the end then. Yeah,
wake up.
I hear a female saying, please help.
Is that before or right at the end?
It's near the end, and then you have like a male mumbling throughout the entire thing.
Right. Now, also, you have to remember,
that's not my phone.
Yeah.
It sounds like my phone. I have that ringer. Somebody has a Samsung.
Yeah, well, what it is there was a lot of people in the Coliseum, right? So that could have been picking up some noise from other people, too.
Well, the thing is, Henry, all the stuff that I sent you, I checked on the waveform, and it shows definite signs of non-human speech, meaning below 300 hertz and a lot of occasions 20 hertz, which is the lowest part of our hearing, was spiking on those words. So anything I sent to you was filtered from the people talking, because there was a lot of talking there.
Okay. Well, I still think right there at the end, you hear something saying, wake up.
I do, too. I do, too. Yeah.
So that was pretty good. And that was at the Coliseum.
That's at the Coliseum on the second floor. There was an open area where you could look over the edge, and we kind of got away from the crowd. So I had it running there. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
And you have to understand that from what I'm hearing, that almost had a Germanic accent to it, just a tad bit, that the area that we're talking about, people were coming from all over the Mediterranean and Europe too. So you got to also kind of listen for accents in this. So mm-hmm. I can hear, please help, in a very Germanic sort of accent when you look at it, when you listen.
Absolutely, Barb. I agree with you. There's a lot in here with accents, And that sometimes makes it a little harder to understand what they're saying, but it's not your English. It's, you know, definitely someone trying to say English in some cases.
You also have to remember that the Colosseum is where they had all the fighting. And it could have been somebody had been in one of the fights and was fixing to get killed or something like that and was saying, please help me also.
I speculate that that's what it is. It could be even somebody that was brought in when the Romans invaded Great Britain, that island. Not saying that they were speaking English at that time, but...
Right. But they were speaking, yeah, old English.
Well,
and Latin.
And the one EVP I got is real interesting because it says, they're coming, big men.
Which is the next one that I'm going to be playing.
And that's cool because they would have been big men to the average Roman. You know, these gladiators would have seemed like giants to them.
All right, so we're going to listen to the next one here from the Colosseum. I think I've got the sound turned up to help everybody. So see if you can hear this one then.
Colosseum, second floor.
I hadn't even tagged the EVP. I love that when you first turn the recorder on, you leave about a minute because that's when you get the best EVPs. And I was on the second floor where one of the tunnels was where they came out of, and there was nobody in there, and I turned it on, and that's what I got.
Okay, listen to it again. Now, like he said, they're saying something right at the beginning, so see if you can make out what they're saying.
Colosseum, second floor.
And then after he says Colosseum, second floor, you hear something else right there at the end also.
Yes, yes. What I heard was, they're coming, big men. And then whatever that is at the end.
And it might be hard to hear some of these, playing them back over the air like this, it is harder to actually make something out. You're listening to them. They're not Class A EVPs, so you have to kind of listen in to what is being said. So I'll play this one more time for you.
Colosseum, second floor.
So that is a little harder to try to hear and make out.
But it was the first EVP I got there. That was the first time I switched it on, which to me, that's awesome because I was absolutely 100% sure people were out of range. And it was like, oh my God, I've got a chance. So I flipped the thing on and then left that opening at the beginning. And I was happy to get that, even though it's not that. I can hear big men pretty clearly. And you're right, on the air it's not as easy, but if you were to hear that on a computer, it's much easier.
Right. Most EVPs are, unless they're real good Class A's, then you can really hear what's being said.
Yep.
Let's run down here to the Sistine Chapel.
Ah, there's a good EVP in there where you should be able to make it out.
The first one that I have listed here starts out with happy.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Now, in the Sistine Chapel, for people who haven't been there or haven't been inside there, you're not allowed to talk. Now, with that said, everybody kind of whispers or mumbles, and there's a lot of people in there. However, what I looked for and what I found with these EVPs is they were far above the level of the background noise. And they were showing spikes again that weren't human, 20 hertz to 300 hertz, and above 3,000 hertz, which is even more incredible. So this place is acoustically a great spot to grab something, and it would be amplified. Even these tiny whispers I've picked up are whispers in the background, but they're still louder than, you know, the entire room full of people. So interesting stuff. And I don't know who said happy, but it's, you know, has to do with the painting maybe.
Let's see what if we can figure out what said then.
Yeah, it's just happy.
Right. Just happy. And that could be anybody, just happy to be there, whatever.
Right.
I'll go ahead and play it one more time, see if you can pick it out. It's right there. It's
yeah, that's
it. Not in the middle. It's a little past the middle. It's right toward the end. It's happy.
Yeah, they were happy, apparently. And that was, like I said, I checked especially that word happy, and it correlated with tones that were down to 20 hertz. So that's not somebody else whispering happy in the room.
Right.
And Pat, we might want to reiterate to people why you're not allowed to talk in the Sistine Chapel. Every time you speak, you emit more CO2, more carbon dioxide, and it damages the paint.
Right. They just got done cleaning that, yeah. Barb. You're right. They spent, I forget how many millions of dollars to clean that, yeah. Because of all the people who had been through there, everything was brown. Now it's a beautiful white, spectacular colors, where maybe 2 years ago, if you went through there, you'd be like, yeah, it's nice, but, you know, it's dull.
Which is a really shock for those of us who grew up with the old paintings on the Sistine Chapel and all the photographs, to go back and look at it now.
Right. Right, exactly, because it's even more spectacular now that it's clean. And they're doing the same thing with the Colosseum. They're cleaning the Colosseum, and that looks completely different. But it's going to take them longer to clean the Colosseum than it took them to build it. It took them only 8 years to build it. It's going to take them like 10 to clean it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that about the CO2.
Well, yeah, and yeah.
And also, Italians like to smoke a lot, so you also a lot of the tar and nicotine in the lungs, etc. And when you talk, the CO2 gets pushed further out than if you're just breathing through your nose. So that's why. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They like to smoke. I'll tell you, that's for sure. And the cool thing about the Colosseum that I didn't know was where it got its name from. The Colosseum means near the Colossus. And years ago, there was a giant bronze statue that was 110 feet tall of Nero that stood in the area near the Colossus, near the Colosseum, which was built after the statue. So it gave its name to the Colosseum, near the Colossus. The statue was melted down in the Middle Ages, though, for weapons. But it was, you know, amazing, 110-foot bronze statue. How cool would that be?
It was one of the seven wonders of the world.
Wow.
And, yep, yep. So, very cool history, and the car CO2 is really what is messing with the Colosseum over the years with all the cars they have. So that's why they are now cleaning that.
I always thought the Colossus was called the Colossus of Rhodes, R-H-O-D-A-S or something, and was not in Rome. I thought it was someplace on Rhodes.
There's more than one.
There's more than one.
Yeah, there was.
Colossus of Rhodes is one, yeah. Yeah. But
That's the one that straddled the harbor.
In Alexandria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, the Romans stole a bunch of stuff from Egypt. Yeah. Rome now has more Egyptian obelisks than Egypt does. They do. They've got 13 of them. And the Pope's got one, St. Peter's Square, Venice Square. There used to be one at Circus Maximus. It's somewhere else now. It's in another square. But they stole a lot of the stuff from Egypt, a lot of their slaves there who built the Colosseum, you know. Palm trees, they're still palm trees, except they're dying, which is unfortunate. There's a bug that's infected them, and the palm trees are slowly dying, and there's no cure for it. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
Is that just in Rome, or?
It's just in Rome, I believe, right now. Yeah.
I hope it don't spread around the world. I like palm trees.
Yeah, it's very cool to see them. They're not native to Rome, but of course, like everything else, the Romans brought them over with, you know, with whatever else they had from Egypt. And it really makes the city, gives it, you know, that really Mediterranean feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think before we get into playing more EVPs, because I got a ton of them, and that's pretty much about what we'll do when we come back from break. But we're going to go ahead and take another quick break, probably about 5 minutes, maybe six tops. And we'll come back, play some more EVPs, and we'll be right back. I believe Jeff gets to take us out.
Yep. Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with host Henry Foyster, Cat Coco, Sue and Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with Pat McCormick and Doug McReynolds of Ghost Soldiers. And I really should have said birthday boy, Henry Foyster, by the way, happy birthday the other day. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
In Hollywood, the legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours first-hand knowledge of some of these Hollywood ghosts and legends. Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Hi, this is Hollywood haunt writer Marla Brooks, and you're listening to the Para X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please. Take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear.
Fine.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
But it's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foyster, Jeffrey Gould, Cat Cloco, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para X Radio Network. You know, there's nothing like a great memory of a great time. And if you grew up during the 1950s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, boy, have we got the memories for you. There was no time more innocent than the 1950s or 60s, nor was there a time more politically explosive. Hi, this is Steve Shockley, a.k.a. The Shock. Join me live every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for a Baby Boomer Rock with a Shock sock hop on rockwithashockradio.com.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio with our wonderful guests, the Ghost Soldiers. The Ghost Soldiers.
Yay! Yeah, that's a double drink on you.
Oh. Where's that train whistle?
To pick up, it was the Colossus of Nero, which was one of the wonders of the world, not the seven wonders of the world. As long as the Colossus stood, Rome would prosper. But when the Colossus would fall, so would Rome. Supposedly was the tail.
Well, I think they got that right.
Yeah.
Oh, Rome did suffer a huge population loss after the Roman Empire declined. People moved out of the city, and really nothing was done. And they were stealing the stones and marbles, and using them for other buildings. For a long time, people just didn't care anymore. Some of the coolest places, though, that survived, Henry, were pagan temples that they were able to Christianize before people could tear it down. And as long as you put a cross on it or made it Christianized, the Temple of Hercules, for example, is still standing. And they were able to save that by putting a cross on it and making it a church now. There's also a pagan pillar in Venice Square. The same thing. They put St. Peter on top of it, and so nobody would tear it down.
And so began the idea of the church just absorbing pagan stuff to convert them and such.
Absolutely, Jeff. Just like Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Halloween and Easter.
Really interesting when you look at the catacombs. Like you were talking about, Jeffrey, the ossuaries, a lot of those were built originally as Christian churches because they were not allowed to practice under Roman rule. They then became part of the cemeteries. They were digging in there so that they could bury their dead with Christian rites. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating how the underdogs became the overlords, which became the underdogs.
Exactly. The story is amazing that they actually would worship underground in secret, and now those are the places where the dead are, and they're up on top and in big churches. And it was one of my goals to try to get down into the catacombs, but with everything we had going on, there just wasn't time. That would definitely be a reason for me to go back to Rome. That and the pizza.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That and the pizza.
I would love to. I'm a huge fan of fettuccine alfredo, and that's my go-to dish for Italian. And I would love to get back to Italy and taste how it tastes over there, made fresh and right off the plate, as it were.
Well, let's get back in with the EVPs, so I can try and get some of these played before the show ends. If you guys got other questions, feel free to ask Pat and Doug about them.
Well, I got a good question for you, both of you, because you investigate a lot of really interesting places, and some of them severely haunted. If you've ever gone to sleep at night in a haunted location, and do you go to sleep with the idea that, yes, it's haunted, and yes, I may be visited?
And Doug, you want to tell them about the summer house at the Haldeman Mansion?
Doug may not.
Apparently not.
Doug may be getting.
Where did Doug go?
I don't know. Let's look.
Bigfoot Gotham.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Somebody call me.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. What's up? I was listening to the show and I was so interested in it.
We were talking about ghosts going to sleep with the idea that, yes, we're in a haunted place and we might be messed with. And I said, Doug, why don't you tell them about the summer house at the Haldeman Mansion?
The summer house at the Haldeman Mansion. I don't know about the rest of the people over there, but me, myself, I really didn't have no trouble sleeping. I mean, you know, I was a little on the warm side. I woke up probably 4 hours later to see Pat sitting up in the bed with both eyes wide open going, did you hear that? And I was like, no, I honestly can say no, I didn't. Is there a problem? I haven't been to sleep yet. Every time I try to fall asleep, door slams, or there's a footstep, or there's a crash, or the chair moves. And I was like, nah, Pat, I'm sorry. You know, I frankly can't, you know, I'm sorry for you, but I didn't hear a thing. Pat was up all night. By 5 o'clock in the morning, he was about so frustrated, he was about ready to choke me to death. I know that. I woke up fresh, fine, you know, had no issues. Pat, on the other hand, they were messing with him. Every time he tried to fall asleep or got himself comfortable, the chair would move across the room. Or the door would, there's a door that goes to the upstairs of the summer house, would slowly creak open. Or he was telling me when I woke, I just don't understand it. He says, first the door creaks open, and then you hear somebody walking up the stairs and then the floor creaking. He says, I couldn't get a bit of sleep. And I made a little funny joke. I was like, well, did you try sleeping outside?
Now, mind you, I sleep in a haunted house every night. So, you know, to me, that's not a big deal. I grew up in a funeral home, you know, slept there. So, yeah, Barb, I'm not too it doesn't bother me. But I'll tell you what, that night they were doing everything they could to have fun with me. There was a Native American gentleman who liked to mess with us when we were there. And I'll swear to God, Doug slept right through it. Chairs are getting slammed against the wall. Doors are getting slammed. I'm sitting bolt upright going, oh, now that's got to be Doug, you know, or that's got to be something. Looking over, he's sound asleep, dead to the world. You know, I think he slept through the one night there was a train parked outside the house, an actual train, literally about 40 yards from us. He slept through that, you know, but the spirits there, that was the worst night. I've slept in a lot of haunted places, and that night I didn't get any sleep. They also had fun. There was outside lights, and they would, like, they're on the motion sensors. So I'd just be getting to fall asleep, and then the light would come on and, like, flood the room, you know? And I'd be like, what? And it would go off. You know, I'd go to sleep again, same thing. And it was hilarious. I was not a happy camper that night.
I don't know. I didn't seem to have a problem with it. Sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, the train, and when he says the train was 40 yards down the track, you could actually hear the engine like it was right next to you. But, you know, I could sleep. I do the Civil War. I slept through cannon fire. So a train was, you know, that was like a trickling creek going downstream to me.
You slept through that battle that went right through the camp. Remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
We're out there, the battle's going on, the battle wages, cannons going off. They take over, they push through the camp, and I remember seeing Doug come out of his tent, like, looking around, like, what's going on? So he grabs his rifle, and the next guy who runs by, he pops out of the tent, and he goes, hey, buddy. The guy turns around, and he shoots the rifle off. He goes, you're dead. Then he pops back into his tent. And I saw him do this two or three times that day. Oh, man.
At that point, I finally walked up. I walked up to the colonel and tapped him on the shoulder, and he goes, "Where did you come from?" I was like, "You're my prisoner." And he just like looked at me with this dumbfound look, like, "We missed you."
So when you're reenacting and somebody gets killed, what do they do? Do they lay on the ground until their reenactment's over?
It depends.
Yeah,
if
basically
it's
the way it works.
Go ahead, Doug.
Usually the way it works is, we try and bring it as close to the real thing as possible. A lot of times, like, you know, the Union soldiers, you know, we shoot over at the Southerners and we all joke around and say, well, they're not falling and they must have their Teflon on or Weebles Wobbles fall, but they, you know, Weebles Wobbles, but they don't fall down type thing. Right. Usually the colonel or the captain will come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, okay, you know, we've been battling long enough. We need to take a few hits or something like that. And then we pretty much go in and with hits. You could fall at any time. I mean, you could walk right up to the line, first shot fired. If, you know, you're not feeling good and you just want to lay down, you know, you could take a hit and lay down. And usually it stays that way. A lot of times a couple of people from the line will run out and grab you and help you back behind the lines and stuff. It just all depends on how you feel. And, you know, a lot of times I've been shot so many times I'm like Swiss cheese in the wind. But it usually stays that way until like after the battle is over, and then they start playing taps. After they play taps, then the dead rise again.
So that's why you can eat so many hot fudge sundaes. It just all leaks right back out.
Oh. Yeah, that's pretty much so.
Yeah.
That
hopefully
makes sense.
I eat enough
now.
Cherries to clog up a hole.
I like to make suicide charges at the end of the battle, Henry. I wait till I'm running out of ammo, and I'll just flat take off and do a suicide charge. And those are some fun deaths, I'll tell you that.
Suicide charge?
Oh, yeah. The funniest one was, you know, so I just take off with my pistol. You know, I'm out of ammunition. I grab a pistol, and I start running toward the rebels who are behind earthworks. And there's this field that we used to go at Bedford. And I would take off running like and screaming like a banshee, firing my pistol as fast as I could. And I'm running toward the rebels, yelling to them, shoot me, you know, shoot me, make it look good, you know. So the audience is watching this. They see me take off like a nut. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. Well, the one day I did this and I stepped in a gopher hole running about 20 miles an hour. And at the same time, the rebels had fired a volley, so it looked like they actually shot me, because I just sprawled. Everything, the gun went flying, and I sprawled, and I didn't move. And I'm laying there, and one of the rebels was really concerned, and he looks over the top of the earthwork, and he goes, "Are you okay?" I go, "Of course not. I'm dead." So, yeah.
So now you're hearing some EVPs from a real dead guy.
Exactly. So, yeah, I've been dead many times. It's not what it's cracked up to, you know, like the Three Stooges used to say. I don't want to be dead. There's no future in it.
You guys crack me up. Let's throw in a few more of these EVPs since our time is running right on down. You had one here from the Sistine Chapel also. And you get this one word, which sounds like a name to me, Katzenberger.
Yes, yes. That was a really good find amidst all that external noise in there. And, you know, this is, I think... the name of who was that? Katzenberger was he was like one of the most recent popes, like going back a few. I'm not sure about that, but that was a great name to pull out.
All right, let's see if we can hear it. Let everybody put your headphones on again and take a listen, see if you can hear Katzenberger.
X Radio presents. Real.
That was a EVP if I ever heard one.
Did you hear it?
Oh, wow. I like that.
Wait, that's a drink on Henry.
I've done had too many.
Oh God.
All right, let's try it again.
Wow, the drums came out so clearly.
That was him beating the drums going across the field getting shot.
Yeah, right at the end there.
You can hear it. It says plain as day, cats and murder. It's kind of soft, but you can hear it. See if I can turn it up just a little bit more. And I don't want to try and get it too loud and blow everybody's eardrums out. We'll try it one more time here.
Yep, not a really clear one, but it's definitely at the end there.
Yep, you can hear a Katzenberger.
Now, Henry, do you have the one that says, quit looking at a dead man?
Hold on here. Let's see. Which one was that under?
That would be under Sistine Chapel. It would be start with SIS, probably. Let me see.
The only other one that I have here was Hey Jack. Let me look here and see if I moved it over to the other.
Yeah, because that's one that it's got that weird kind of almost an off cell phone voice, and it's really loud, and I thought pretty clear, you know, and they're saying, quit looking at the dead man. Sing-songy voice.
Okay.
And
all right, let's look and see if this is it here. I'll play it and then you can tell me if this one.
And okay.
I hear talking.
That's the one.
Is that it? I hear
that's the one. It's right.
Yeah, you can hear that playing.
It's right at the beginning. Listen for a voice going, quit looking at a dead man. And then they say something like, there's a coffin.
Okay.
And something else, yeah.
All right, let's listen again, see if you can hear this one. Yeah, I could hear it that time. Quit looking at a dead man.
Yeah, how wild is that, huh?
And that was at the Sistine Chapel.
That's in the Sistine Chapel.
Hmm.
Is
there any coffins in the Sistine Chapel?
No, I don't think there's anybody actually buried in there. The tombs are mostly in St. Peter's Basilica, if anybody of any importance. So I think it's pretty clean as far as there's no, you know, coffins of any kind in there. But you can clearly hear somebody like, quit looking at a dead man. And I don't know if they're talking to me, you know, and like maybe I'm looking in their direction or something, but man, that's pretty crazy.
Wow. All right, I'm gonna play this one just one more time here and listen real close, see if you can hear this. Sounds like I say uh-huh.
Yeah, and yep. Like I said,
uh-huh.
And Henry, that all had the same 20 hertz spikes, so it's being said by someone who's not a living human voice.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah
let's see, let's run back over to the others, right? What was the STLO?
That's St. Lorenzo in Florence. Those are the ones I got in the tomb of the Medici family.
Really? The first one I got here, it says comfortable. Let's see if we can hear anything on that. You can
hear it. Says,
yeah.
Get comfortable.
Yeah, there's some talking, and then you hear comfortable. So I'll play one more time, see if you can hear it. Kind of hard to pull out, but you can't hear it.
Yep, and again, that's showing the spikes. That's not human, the 20 hertz spike. So we were in a tomb where no one was talking. This is an underground tomb, fairly extensive, of these different rooms. It's all concrete and marble, and nobody was saying a single word in any of these. It was very much like, you know, like a cemetery. So it was very interesting. I just ran the recorder the whole time.
Now this next one, it says, nice trip, have more fun.
Yep, that's a message from my dad, who my dad passed away back in 95. And before I went on the trip, I invited him along. And I'm pretty sure that's him showing up with his sense of humor.
All right, let's see if we can hear it. Now I can hear the nice trip.
And then he says, have more fun, right at the end.
So I'll play one more time, see if you can hear it. Yeah.
So, you know, God bless my mom. She can be a little difficult to, you know, navigate with on trips. When we got there was no butter in Rome. She loves butter. This was an ongoing source of problems for the next several days, when she consistently insisted on asking for butter to Italians who have no idea what that means.
Really?
Yes, because they use olive oil, not butter, on their bread, and that's a completely foreign, you know, idea to them. So so, you know, it was a little fun, you know, trying to convince her that there's no butter and that they use olive oil. And I think my dad was kind of like, yeah, you know, I know what you're going through. Have more fun.
Oh, and here we go. There was a funeral in the Sistine Chapel. It would have been Pope Alexander VI, who was Rodrigo Borgia. And so there was a lot of animosity at that time with the Borgias taking over the church. So you can see where that animosity would be there, and I could see an EVP of quit looking at the dead man. Yeah.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, that makes total very sense. Good.
Yeah. Wow, very cool. Good find, Barb.
Yeah, that gives us a lot more context. Mm-hmm.
All right, now this next one says, Richard frightens me.
Yeah, that was interesting. That's again in the tomb of Saint Lorenzo for the Medici family. And in one of the rooms, there was this weird, eerie cold, you know, colder than all the other rooms. And I think that's where I got that one.
All right, let's take a listen to it. I'm still getting feedback out of Mike. Hint, hint, hint.
Here, hold on. Let me mute.
All right. I'm going to play this again. See if you can hear anything. It's kind of real quick with the frighten me, but you can hear Richard fairly plain to start with.
Listen. Yeah, the Richard's right out there, and then the other's kind of a little harder to hear.
Right, so listen for that anyway.
Yeah, you can definitely hear the word Richard, so, you know, that's not my name, it's not my brother's name, you know, and we were the only two at that spot, so it's somebody else talking about someone else.
Now, there were some others, and before we run out of time, I want to play some of them also. And Doug sent these to me. First one I'm going to play, it says Frankie and Keith. Where did we get these at?
These were at Pennhurst, Henry.
These are Pennhurst? Okay. Listen, see if you can pick that up and turn your mic down. Now you could hear Frankie, and then a little bit later you could hear Keith. And that pinging, you want to explain what that is now? That's
the Ovilus 3 in touch mode. We use that with trigger props, which we had set up on a table, and that was one of the items we had there. And we set it so that it doesn't go off unless you actually touch it. And then we backed off, and it didn't go off. We have video for about an hour, maybe, of it not doing anything. Then it started going off, and usually once they figure it out, they use it a lot, and kids especially will just keep touching it. And we were able to use that for, like, yes or no answers with these spirits. Once they started touching it, they would respond to questions. Well, while we're doing that, we get this really loud Frankie, which is louder than all of our voices.
Right.
And we also, at the same time, there was things being dropped behind us, noises in the other room. So you got a lot going on there. But the Frankie is the most incredible EVP I've heard, and it's the loudest one I've ever heard. So this guy's got a ton of energy. And this is the guy who later attacks Doug.
Oh. Well, let's play it one more time then. Now you can hear him, that's for sure.
And the Keith is a different voice.
Right.
It's like, it's not the same person.
I wonder if they was saying their name.
Right, like calling, hey, Frankie, hey, Keith.
Or they're saying, you know, I'm Frankie, or and then he said, I'm Keith, or something like that. Or maybe Frankie was, he was calling.
I think it was Frankie calling out the Keith.
Yeah.
What was that last one that says, like, catch?
Was it after they said
right
Keith?
At the end? It sounded like they said catch.
All right, let's play it one more time. See if you can hear something then.
Oh, that's me saying, "Were you 10?"
Oh,
we're asking this little girl, Jane. We got the name Jane, and I was asking her if she was 10.
Gotcha.
And
that was one of the EVPs that I had sent you, Henry, about Jane.
I've got it, too. We're going to play it next. So listen, see if you can hear Jane on this. Now, I guess you guys had a toy or something trying to get them to play with it. And you did hear Jane right after the ping.
And Jane's in there a few times. And, yes, we had a little teddy bear used as a trigger prop.
Okay. Listen to it one more time. Yeah, who's saying that Jane two or three times?
I say Jane, and then there's a whisper that's not us. Then Doug says Jane. So there's kind of sprinkled in between. She keeps saying her name, I think.
Ah.
But we're definitely, I say it, and then there's a whisper Jane, and then Doug says Jane. and then you hear a Jane again. So, but the definite, right at the ping is the first Jane, and that's her.
Right, right. Let's run on, because we got down to about 10 minutes, and we got some others. And let's see. There was one here said, help me. I don't think we did that one yet, did we?
Doug?
No, I don't think we did that one yet.
All right, let's listen to this. It's right there, kind of look at the beginning here. Help me. One more time. Where was that one at?
That was also at Pennhurst.
Okay. I hear old-timey music.
In that?
Yeah.
There's something else in there. Yeah, play that again.
Music.
All right, listen to see. Sounded like some kind of drums or something.
No, it sounded like a clarinet.
Really?
Being played over a like a old radio, like 1930s radio.
All right.
See, that was the thing about Pennhurst. When I started watching the EVPs through the computer, there's one EVP session. There is multiple EVPs. I mean, I picked out the ones that you can hear, but there was also things that, you know, while I was doing EVPs, I'm like, oh my goodness, what's that? You know, and you try and pull it out. One EVP can take anywhere from a couple of weeks to almost a couple of months because there's just so much in it. And there were so many things that when I was pulling out EVPs, I was like, wow, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that one because I hear something else, but I can't really defer what it is. And that's one of the things about, you know, the computers and stuff. I mean, you got to look at the peak things. Like Pat says, you know, when you're doing EVPs and you're watching them through the computer, you got to look for those peak spikes. Those are the things that you're looking for. And those are like the first set of EVPs. And then there's another set of EVPs. And, you know, like I was saying, one EVP can take up to weeks to kind of, you know, go through and stuff because there's just multiple things that, you know, you do it so many times and you're like, well, I got to sit and take a break from this. And then, you know, here you hear it on the radio, and now here's Barbara saying, oh, I hear music from the 30s in the background, which is possibly true.
All right. I'll play this one more time. See if you can hear music in it then. Yeah, right there at the first, it almost sounds like somebody playing bongos.
Yeah, I heard something. Yep.
It's not a bongo. It's a clarinet or other woodwind.
Oh, it's
like that's big very band. Distinct yeah. to me. Yeah, because I used to play in a big band.
Yeah, I know. You're in a big band.
Well, I think we have to take her advice then. It probably is that.
Yeah, I played clarinet for over a decade. So
there's definitely music there, and I would defer to Kat's thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a drum in the background. I do hear like a percussion, but what comes out to me immediately is the clarinet or a type of saxophone, a reed instrument at any rate, being played over like a radio.
And there were so many layers there and so many people there that you just could feel that the history, there had to be music played in these rooms. Mm-hmm. And we were in one of those rooms, I think, when he took this, one of those day rooms kind of where they might have had music.
Yeah, and I also hear a female voice after it.
But, yes, yeah.
And that one's hard to make out what she's saying.
Yep, yeah, that was up on the third floor before the attack.
All right.
Maybe it's Nurse Catherine.
Before the second attack.
Oh, might have been Nurse Catherine, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, now, this other one, it's called Gunshot. Where did we get that at?
That was also at Pennhurst. Funny thing about that one. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just saying in the basement, I think, right?
Yeah, that was in the basement. And the funny thing about it was not only did I get the EVP, but Pat also got the same EVP.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the lines, somebody got shot for whatever reason. Now you would think to yourself, how could a gun get into that place? But, you know, there could be various reasons how it got in there or why it got in there. But if you listen to it, it definitely is a gunshot. Somebody definitely was shot at or was murdered for whatever reason.
Okay, let's listen to the gunshot real quick. Now, something's setting them pings off a whole lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were getting a lot of interaction with the girl. She was telling us a lot of stuff, and it happens before the first ping
right.
that you hear the gunshot, which is completely something we didn't hear at the time.
Mm. I'll play it for you one more time. Wow. Well, it sounds very interesting with Pinhurst. We did get some others from the ice cream place.
Yep.
I'm going to play this first one. It doesn't say what it is. We'll see if we can listen to it real quick. Like.
All right.
Come on. When you touch it, it makes that sound. It could be a yes. Thank you, Nathaniel. Thank you. You're very good. You're very smart.
Were you the one that was touching it when we were downstairs?
There's your answer. I thought so, because that's where I got him his name.
Yep.
And that was upstairs, right, from where we was broadcasting?
That's right. Right after the show, that's right up the attic stairs, right behind where you were. We went up there, and he started answering our questions. You can hear right there by touching this thing. And he had done that during your show, if you remember, a few times.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I have a question. Were there people down below talking?
Yeah, well, there were down in the ice cream place.
Yeah, because you could kind of hear, like, in the background people talking.
Yep.
In that particular recording.
Yes, and there were a lot of people actually on the second floor at that time. Since the show was over, everybody who was there was just talking.
Okay.
And it was actually close to a window, and just outside the window was a outdoor cafe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so there are a lot of talking in there.
All right, I'm going to play the second one from Mr. G's.
Okay.
Were you a member of the Confederate Army?
Now you could really hear the people outside that outside
yep.
Thing, but the question was, were you a Confederate? And then you hear the ping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're just going for the pings here, and that's what I've been doing in noisy environments. If you can't get an EVP, just try to get some kind of response with whatever you can do. So we had some luck with it. He answered some questions.
Okay, let's this last one real quick, like. And that's also up there, too.
I'd like to ask you what your rank
is. That's funny. I was thinking, was he the lieutenant? All right, just to be sure, were you the lieutenant? Are you a lieutenant, sir? He's a wounded lieutenant brought into this building. Maybe not? Okay. Were you just... I don't know what to make of that. That's just a late answer. Right answer. Okay. All right, so you are. You are the lieutenant. Very nice to meet you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, that was up in the attic there, and he was definitely working at Avalis 3, boy.
Well, our time has just shot right on by. I want you guys to stay on for a few minutes. Go ahead and give out any information you want to real quick, like, and I'll have Jeff do it real quick, like, and then we got to jump off.
Well, we want to thank you and Kat and Jeff and Barb for letting us on, and goes back to Dave Jones. We want to thank for starting Para-X, giving us such a great opportunity to meet such great people. We have met so many great people and had so many opportunities being involved with Para-X. And if people want to check out our stuff, they can go to our Facebook page, Ghost-Soldiers. Check out our new videos, our mini movies with Henry in some of them. And also the ghostsoldiers.com is our website. We got on-demand videos, radio shows, and lots more. Check out the Italy page and anything else. So thank you, guys.
All right. Just want to remind everybody, you can check us out at theparanormalview.com. All the information, Jeff's sites and Kat's sites and all the good stuff. Jeff, real quick.
Just go to my website, TELFFCOULD.net/2011PNV.htm. That's my Paranormal View homepage. You can see this report and the podcast will be embedded there. I'm on Twitter at Real Badger. Feel free to follow me, and hoping that two of my friends, Hoop Brannigan and Breezy Pumps, got into the chat room tonight.
All right, real quick. Next week we got Annie Wilder talking about trucker ghost stories. And Kat?
Yes?
Did you want to say real quick?
Oh, yeah. Just Google Kat Kloko and all my stuff pops up. So that's KATKLOCKOW.
Very good. Till next week, this is Henry Foister.
Jeffrey Gould.
Barbara Duncan.
And Kat Kloko.
And good night, everybody.
The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View. Come back and listen to us again, if you dare. The Paranormal View from the Para-X Radio Network. The Paranormal View.